Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Though the book of Daniel in the Old Testament is a short book, it has many points with many events and many persons, each with their own spiritual lesson and significance. But we should always be mindful that the real focus of this book, as it is in every book of the Bible, is Christ, and in Daniel specifically, the Christ of God's economy. To bring us all into this view of Daniel and of Christ is the goal of this ministry, because it truly is a view that can not only change and deepen our understanding of the Bible, it can affect our whole life as well as a believer. Joining us today to help both see this view and to enter into the experience of Christ and his economy is Francis Ball. Francis, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you very much.
Francis, the very first message in the life study of Daniel showed us that this book gives us 5 main points concerning Christ. In this program, Witness Lee will visit all of these points. It's somewhat a review program today. I thought it'd be good if we started by just having you mention these 5 items and where we find them in the book of Daniel.
Well, concerning Christ's death, this is in chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. And then you have concerning his upcoming appearing. That's in chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, and also verse 45. And further, as the Son of Man who is brought to the throne of God to receive dominion and the kingdom in chapter 7. And in chapter 3, we see Christ as the companion of the suffering witnesses of God. And then number 5, he is the excellent and precious one in chapter 10.
5 marvelous items, all focusing on Christ, but in an Old Testament book that doesn't by name, of course, refer to him. But this ministry really helps us to have eyes where we can see him in all of these Old Testament books, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think that's one of the outstanding features of this ministry is to see Christ in the whole Bible.
Well, we're going to begin with the first of these 5 points that you just enumerated for us. That is Christ and his death. And as you pointed out, that's chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 26. I'll just read a short portion of it. It says, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off and will have nothing." A very clear reference to the Lord Jesus in his crucifixion. Let's join Witness Lee with this first portion.
The book of Daniel is short, 12 chapters, yet with too many points, too many events, too many persons, and too many spiritual lessons for us. But behind all this, something is there. Now, what is that? That is, firstly, God's economy. Of course, you don't have such a term in this book. Even in the Old Testament, you don't have such a term. And such a term is there in New Testament, especially in Paul's writings, Ephesians and so forth. You must see God's economy in this book. And secondly, you must see God's economy is for Christ to be the centrality and universality of entire move of God. In the whole book, with 12 chapters, only 5 points concerning Christ are related. Number 1, Christ's death, Christ's crucifixion. Christ didn't die a death of a single person. He died a death that comprises all the things in the universe. So we call this death the all-inclusive death. The main thing the death did is to terminate the old creation. God created a creation, but Satan came in to devastate it, to poison it, to ruin it, to corrupt it. So the entire old creation becomes a kind of a corruption. Yet God still would use it, would still work out something out of that corrupted creation to be a new creation. And this is altogether done through Christ's death and resurrection. The main thing that Christ came in his first appearing was to achieve such a thing. What do you think? To terminate the whole creation, the old one. In this termination, there is something rising up that is his resurrection. In this resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit to enliven, to germinate some ones in old creation to be regenerated and to be God's sons. And these, all sons of God, will be just the new creation. You have to see this. And this new creation firstly began with us, the believers, to be God's sons and to be Christ's members, that Christ's body could be constituted and could grow up.
Francis, the central point of the whole Bible is God's economy. Of course, directly, it's mostly unveiled in the New Testament in the writings of the Apostle Paul. But we are able to see this economy even in the Old Testament if our eyes have been opened. Daniel shows us the crucifixion of Christ. Of course, this is a major component of God's economy. Let's take a moment and look at his crucifixion in this light, particularly in what it accomplished related to the old creation and the new creation, which he touched here at the end of this section.
Yeah, this is a very important point, isn't it, Chris? Brother Lee often refers, as he did today, to the death of Christ being all-inclusive, comprising even every item in the universe. Here, however, he points out that the greatest achievement and the main item terminated by the death of Christ was the old creation. The old creation was so corrupted by Satan that it actually became corruption itself. Yet, through the death and resurrection of Christ, though, he becomes the life-giving spirit to enliven, to germinate, to regenerate some of those in the old creation to be the new creation. This really is God's economy. To make Christ the center of everything, he must do this. This new creation begins with some from among the old creation to become the sons of God, and then to be constituted as the body of Christ, and eventually to consummate in the new Jerusalem. It's really marvelous to see that the death and resurrection of Christ, which was accomplished by his first coming, has done so much to terminate the old creation and actually produce the new creation.
The new creation, it's one of those terms, Francis, that maybe is diminished by a kind of a natural understanding that, well, this means to sort of turn over a new leaf or have a new start. But that's not at all what God is up to, is it, in this economy of his, terminating the old creation and bringing forth or germinating, as you said, the new creation.
Yes, that's the important factor, because this is God's economy, that Christ would become everything. Without this realization, we may think that, as some people do, that being born again means to improve, to turn over a new leaf. No, this is a matter of life. He really died and resurrected to put his divine life into his believers.
Francis, the old creation, as we've seen in a previous program, we're going to touch again now, was a major frustration to the Lord. Another major frustration that is dealt with in Daniel is the matter of human government, which in a sense is sort of the peak, the high peak of the old creation. It's man's attempt to regulate himself without God and without any acknowledgement of God. And of course, we know the level of corruption and evil that has become so intermixed and mingled with man's human government. This is a major frustration to God's accomplishment of his economy. This is also dealt with in the book of Daniel. These two things, the old creation by his death, we're going to see in this coming section how this other big problem, human government, is dealt with. In chapter 2, verse 34, it says, "You were watching until a stone was cut without hands, and it struck the image at its feet of iron and clay and crushed them." This is the dealing with man's human government. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
"These body will consummate in the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is the totality, the aggregate, and the consummation of God's new creation. This is all involved in Christ's first coming with his death and resurrection. Then there is a need of Christ coming the second time. So he appeared in the second time to terminate the human government. According to Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 19, Christ comes back to smash the 10 kings, waits his overcomers. And before this, he had a wedding. And in that wedding, he united his overcomers to himself to make them one entity. Christ comes back to smash Antichrist with the 10 toes. He would not come just by himself. He comes with his bride.
Amen.
And at that time, his bride becomes his army.
Amen.
You read Revelation 17, 19. Christ will not come as a single individual general. He will be fighting with his wife. But Daniel only says a stone. If you read to the end of the Bible, you could say that stone is a couple. Not just Christ himself, but his newly married bride. It's not so simple.
Well, Francis, it surely is not that simple, as our brother just said. This takes us back to the life study of Revelation that we completed a couple of weeks ago, especially to see this matter of the bride becoming one entity with Christ, to be his fighting army at the end of this age, to deal with Antichrist and really all of the corrupted human government. It does require us to have eyes to see God's economy to understand this point, Francis. It's much beyond our natural thought of Christ just coming back individually to take possession of the earth, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, Chris, and we really do need to have eyes to see God's economy as the guiding principle, actually, in interpreting the whole Bible. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul points out that the natural or the soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they're spiritually discerned. We really need to use our spirit to grasp God's economy. It's something hidden in God, so to speak. And the popular concept about Christ coming is that the Lord will come back to take us all out of this corrupted world, but without much thought that Christ will return not as the individual Christ, but he will return with his bride. And this bride is the believers who are the overcomers. And these will be his army when he comes back to fight against Antichrist, who's really one with Satan. And he's one with the 10 kings and their armies who are really declaring war against God himself. But by crushing the human government, this corporate Christ, Christ with his bride, will become a great mountain, according to Daniel, to fill the whole earth. This means the whole earth will be God's kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth.
Oh, that is a tremendous view. Let me point out, Francis, we spent a lot of time in the life study of Revelation on these points about the bride, the corporate aspect of Christ in this fighting. He deals with Antichrist and clears up the whole situation at the end of the tribulation. As a reminder to our listeners, we now have the printed Life Study volumes from Revelation that cover these matters in great detail, because we're touching subjects here that are of a lot of interest to believers and Christians and sometimes debate, but we got so much help in the Life Study of Revelation, I thought I would just take a moment to recommend that those items are available to our listeners.
I think that's very important if they could get this more complete picture.
Well, we've seen Christ in his crucifixion in the book of Daniel. We've seen him now as the stone cut out without hands that comes and crushes the image representing the totality of human government on the earth. There are three more items concerning Christ that we hope to touch in this last section today. So let's go back to Witness Lee, and then you and I will have a chance to see how far we get, Francis.
Then after this crushing of the human government, God has cured of the entire universe. All creation is gone, and the human government becomes chaff, blown away by the wind. Then this Christ, this culprit Christ, will become a big mountain to fill the entire earth, making the entire earth God's kingdom. That's eternal God. To have an eternal kingdom. But anyhow, by these two appearances, Christ firstly cleared up the old creation, then secondly, he cleared up the human government. Then the earth and the heaven will be quite new for God to exercise his kingdom. In between this, Christ is there to receive the kingdom, to make a good preparation. When he comes in his second appearance, he comes to meet his overcomers. Also, he comes with God's kingdom. There is the need of quite much preparation. Now Christ is there. Before the throne of God, he is making all the preparations for him to come back. Don't think he come back, it will be so simple. He will come back to rule over the entire world with God's kingdom. So there is the need of much preparation. In the meantime, at this period of time, he is also with his suffering people. We are the suffering people, in a sense, because of the wrong government. We are in the furnace, and Christ is with us. On the one hand, at this time, Christ is in heavens, to get the thing prepared for God's kingdom. On the other hand, meantime, he's also day by day with us, the suffering people. He is the very one in the whole universe that is excellent.
Amen.
That is precious. And this precious one and this excellent one, Maya, is the centrality and universality in God's economy.
Francis, we look at these 5 points together and we see so much that's accomplished for the carrying out of God's purpose, terminating the old creation in his death, dealing with the human government that we saw, preparing and bringing in the kingdom, but also a couple of very experiential items here that do affect us, like being our companion in suffering. This portion he pointed out, he said it quickly there. I don't know if all of our listeners caught it. He is the Christ who gets in the furnace with us. Of course, that's a direct reference back to the three faithful ones, young ones thrown into the furnace and spared in Daniel. Maybe you could talk about that for a moment. I do want to ask you ultimately about this last phrase he threw out. He said he really is the centrality and universality in God's economy. That's an intriguing phrase. But say a little something about these other aspects, his preciousness, his excellence, and how he's our companion in suffering.
Well, of course, that chapter you referred to about those three companions of Daniel that were thrown in the fiery furnace, that's certainly a very vivid picture how Christ is with his suffering ones, because even the king Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he saw not three but four. And the Bible tells us clearly that fourth one was the Son of God, appearing like a son of man. But it's wonderful to realize that Christ is so available to us in all kinds of situations. And no doubt, in the end of this age, we'll see more suffering with God's people. So we need to have the realization that Christ is always our companion, always with us. He said, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
So it's very comforting to know that regardless of what we might go through as suffering as God's people, He's always there with us. So I'm really thankful for that. Now, concerning this matter of Him being the centrality and universality, Chris, that is certainly true. In God's economy, He purposed to give Christ the preeminence in all things. For this, God needs a certain kind of people. Without these people, He doesn't have a way to carry out His economy. We must be those people who are presently under the heavenly rule. That means that Christ is in us, not just as our comforter, but He's also in us as our ruling. There's a certain kind of divine law that's within the life that we received when we received Christ. And we must be those people who are presently under the heavenly rule, not waiting for the Lord to come and conquer the whole government. But right now, we are separated unto Him, and we're under His inward and heavenly rule. So there is no other way for God to accomplish this purpose without a people who are under this rule. So to make Christ preeminent, we must learn that we are under God's administration, and we must give Christ the best coordination and cooperation so that during this age He has a people that are really under His rule and will be with Him when He comes back to exercise His dominion.
Well, and that would be how we would conclude this program. We still have a week to go in this life study of Daniel and much to be seen, particularly yet the 70 weeks we're going to deal with in more detail. We would like to invite you to contact us about these printed messages. The life study of Daniel is just one volume, 17 messages in total, and we have that available for all of our radio listeners and many other resources as we point out from time to time. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.